Our scripture reading for this morning will be taken from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. 1 John 3, 1 through 3. And it is on page 1169 in the Bibles provided. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure.
Good morning. It's great to see you here this morning. It is a delight to be together. We thank God for another privilege, another opportunity to come before him, to worship him, fellowship, and encourage one another. One of the, I imagine it's true for most preachers, but one of the things that's very challenging about preaching is the sadness you feel for people who are deceived. It is a very trying thing to watch as people who want to find the Lord, want to live for the Lord, are unfortunately given the wrong information about the Lord. And it's possible that you could desire something and want God and just be totally misled about God. Jesus addresses this in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 following. When he says, not everyone who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. He goes on to say, many in that day will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? Did we not cast out demons in thy name? And did we not do many wonderful works in your name? And then will I profess to them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. How sad it will be for people who have been misled, even deceived, to believe they had a relationship with God, but God looks at it and says, we actually never had a relationship. Maybe it's happened to you in your lifetime. Maybe you thought you were friends with somebody. And maybe after they did you wrong, that was your line. Maybe that's the very thing you said. I thought we were friends. I thought we were closer than that. No, it turns out I was your friend of me. I was never your friend. As it turns out, I never had your good in mind. I never intended to do you right. I never actually loved you the way you loved me. Sad time to find that out after somebody has done something wrong to you and you believe the relationship was different than it actually was. I say all that because John addresses God's children. He says in chapter 3, verse number 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. We should be called the sons of God. Now, it's not there on our screen, but we will get to it momentarily. What you should know is there is another option of being someone's child in this text. You see, there are children of God, and then there are children of the devil. And it might be the case that one might not know whose child they are. And it could be sad indeed for one to believe they're a child of God when in fact the scripture says, no, actually, you're a child of the devil. Whose child am I? We'll study that this morning. We began in chapter 3, but let's go back to chapter 1 because there must be some way of identifying that. First thing we want to note, though, is there are blessings of being God's child. We talked this morning in the parenting class. And I felt at times like I was yelling. I didn't mean to. Servant of the Lord must not strive. I wasn't meaning to yell at those good parents. And they were good parents in that class. Let me tell you that. Lovers of their children. Amen. They just love those little people. And shouldn't you? Shouldn't you just love those little people? I mean, is there anything better than a baby? I mean, you talk about love just gushing and flowing out of people. There should be great blessings to being someone's child, and there should be blessings of being God's child. I trust and hope that you and I think of ourselves as in a relationship with our Heavenly Father, and that He loves us as much as we love our children, I would argue even more. John's first point back in chapter 3 is, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. One of the blessings not mentioned on the screen is love. There are, however, a couple specifically mentioned in chapter 1. After talking about the eternal life, 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, John talks about our Lord and our Savior, that which we have seen and heard, declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, John says, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Hey, let me ask you something just for a moment. Do your children find joy in being you being their parents? Shouldn't they? Shouldn't there be joy in the fact that you're their parents? I hear parents sometimes say, if I could choose children, I wouldn't want any more than these right here. Shouldn't children say the same thing? If I could choose parents, I would not have wanted any parents other than y'all. Wouldn't that be great if your children said that? Why don't God's children have joy? If you can think of a better parent, you let me know. I'd love to hear about a parent who can love their children more than God loves his. I'd love to hear of a parent who cares more than God cares for his, has given more, has done more. John says, in fact, these things I'm writing that your joy may be full. One of the blessings of being a child of God is our Father. And the joy in that ought to be that which should sustain Christians for the whole life that they have with God. It should be a life lived with joy, knowing every day I wake up, God is my Father in heaven. My Father loves me. My Father cares for me. My Father longs to have me home with him in heaven. My Father has given to me. Friends, if you don't have joy in Jesus Christ and joy in having God as our Father, something is gone wrong somewhere. And it needs desperately to be addressed. The second thing that John points out is fellowship. John says, this then is the message that we have heard and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. This is so important because by the time we get to chapter 3, John's going to talk about very specifically children of God and children of the devil. But over here, he's talking about the blessings of being a child of God. And one of those blessings is fellowship. Joint participation, koinonia, fellowship. We are heirs together, Peter says, not simply one with another, but we are in fellowship with God. We have fellowship. The one with another is not human to human. The one with another is us to God. We have fellowship one with another. And in addition to that, John says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us, keeps on cleansing us from all sin. Friends, if that's not a blessing, what is? Here's also what John says, and it's noteworthy. Our speech, however, must match our walk. John says, if we say we have fellowship, then John says our walk must be in harmony with our speech. Everybody is on a walk. Everybody has a direction. That walk and that direction will inevitably and must lead to a destination. Nobody's standing still. Nobody's walking in place. John says, if we say we have fellowship, but we walk in darkness. You see, you can say you have fellowship, and a lot of people do. A lot of people say, I know I'm with the Lord. I know the Lord is with me. How's your walk? Because if you say you're in fellowship and you're walking in darkness, John says, you're lying. You lie and do not the truth. You can't simply say you and God are in a great relationship. You can't simply say, I am a child of God. John says you have to actually be walking in the light. Now, there are people who are presently walking in darkness and they don't know it. That is, they don't know they don't belong to the Lord. Some of them might actually think they do. Others of them have decided on their own they do. They may or may not know it, but here's something that is absolutely true. Everybody who is walking in the light, they absolutely know that they're walking in the light. Nobody is walking in the light ignorantly. You don't stumble into the way of the Lord. No, sir, a highway will be there, Isaiah said. And they that walk therein, Isaiah 40, I believe it is, about verse 3. A highway and a way, and that way, it'll be known. It'll be a way that if you walk in it, it will be because you absolutely made a decision to choose to walk with God. One of the great blessings is those who have done that have fellowship. They have love, chapter 3, verse 1. They have joy, and they have fellowship. John says that's some of the blessings of being a child of God. Well, then the question might be this: how did they become God's children? It's also found in this very chapter, chapter 1. And while the specifics of pardon are not mentioned, we'll get to those. I thought it was worthy of saying it this way because of the ifs. The individuals who belong to God, who have chosen to walk in the way, the individuals who are children of God, have accepted God's terms of pardon. That's how they became his children. John says three things in chapter 1, verses 8, 9, and 10. He says, first of all, these individuals were honest with themselves. Verse number 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. How did they become children of God? They were honest with themselves. They acknowledged that they were sinners. The reason some people can't become children of God is they won't make that acknowledgement. They keep telling themselves, I'm all right, you're all right, in the end, nothing really matters. No, sir, no, ma'am. If you're going to be a child of God, you must acknowledge that you are a sinner first. That brings you to number 2. That acknowledgement must lead to admission and a need for God's help. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. What if we don't? You see, if you don't admit it, if you don't confess it, if you don't say it and then demonstrate it, well, the acknowledgement piece is not sufficient. Some people are fond of saying, well, we all sinners. Okay, we've acknowledged that. What you gonna do about it? Well, nothing. No, John says you don't simply have to acknowledge it, you have to confess it. You have to acknowledge it and then admit it. You need God's help. I long for you. I need you to change me. You have to admit that. John says if we confess. Thirdly, John says these individuals became children of God because they didn't make God a liar. In other words, they let go of their own pride and they accepted his justice and his holiness and his conclusion. Verse number 10, John says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Friends, when it comes to the subject of sin, either God's right or we're right. When God says you are in sin and you need him, that's either true or it's not true. And if you say back, well, I don't have any sin, I'm all right, you're all right, everybody's all right, well, then you make God a liar. Individuals who have become God's children, they didn't do that. They were willing to acknowledge, I'm a sinner, I need help. They were willing to admit, listen, I'll confess it. And they were willing to accept God's conclusions about their state. And they did not impugn his integrity. Now, all of that is a brief introduction for how we get to this point, which is really where the sermon began, back over in chapter 3. I say a brief introduction because we're only going from chapter 3, verse 1 down to about verse number 10. There are 3 points, I believe, in the sermon. And what John says by way of identification. That first part was for God's children. Friends, listen, again, if there is no joy in Christ, why not? What are we missing that somehow robs us of the joy Christ promises? Now, I submit to you a couple of things happened by way of that. Number one might be, as we talked in parenting class this morning, if you confuse your salvation with your sanctification, it'll probably rob you of your joy. But there are things that people know they should have. That is, people who are children of God know they should have joy. And so when they don't, one of the things they do is they try to fabricate it. And they invent it, artificially so. And if you want to know why what's happening to the Lord's church is happening to the Lord's church, this is why. When we don't have joy, as we ought to biblically and spiritually every day in our lives, then we use the worship hour to fabricate joy. So what we do, since it's not in our lives, then we think there should be at least one time of the week we have it. So when we come together for worship, we then energize ourselves with a lot of innovations that we bring into the Lord's worship, things to hype us up, things to stimulate us, things to make us feel good, and we count that as joy. I stand up here this morning and say, give God a hand. Everybody starts clapping for God, though he's never asked for that. But I do that. Rev you up. Suddenly we're all happy. We're all excited. I might even say tingly inside, just feeling good. We get a singer up here who can flat out sing. I ain't saying our brethren can't sing. That's not what I mean. I mean, you know what I mean. I mean, we bring one of them big boys in here who can just flat out, we call it blow. Dude can go. I mean, what'll happen is we'll stop singing to listen. And we'll be in concert. This dude be flat out singing. Some of these professionals sing. I mean, going to town. You don't think you can make religious songs sound like some real good toe tapping, waist moving, shoulder bump? You don't think you can do that? Oh, there's some people who can flat out sing. And what are we seeking here? We need joy. Man, we ain't got none. I started rhyming. Little shimmy shaking and dancing. Some of y'all would love that too, boy. Moonwalking, sliding up and down this thing. I said, woo-wee. He brought it today. You know what we're doing? We're looking for joy. We're trying to find it. It's not in our lives. And so what we do is we fabricate it. Bring it into worship. We need to infuse worship. And suddenly we have joy. Actually, we don't have joy. Not at all. Because when the hour ends and it all calms down, what's going to happen next? You go right back outside, get into those cars, arguing with your spouses, mad at your children, back to life, being normal. Guess what you don't have? No joy. Never did. Never did. Biblically speaking, though, the Bible says we should have joy. Now, somewhere, somehow, it has gone terribly wrong. Now, let me say this very quickly. On the other side of the ledger is people who also believe any amount of passion is what I just described. That is, let's say we just had a spirited song leader that led us in song. And he just led us enthusiastic. You know, some people think, well, see what we're doing there. No, we're just singing, bro. That's all we're doing. We're singing. But some people, they're always two camps, always extremes. And people love to operate on extremes. Some folks want to bring camels in here. And other people want to bring a refrigerator. Turn this thermostat down, don't move. Both of them are just flat wrong. Just flat wrong. Spiritually speaking, in the middle, where God always is harmoniously balanced, there is as ought to be as much passion for anything you love in the worship of God, coupled with the truth God has revealed. And we ought to be able to do that and have joy. John says, God's children know God is their Father. They know that. You ask some people, are you saved? I don't know. Pardon? You don't know if you're saved? You don't know who your father, you don't know whose child you are? God's children know. John says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God, the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. John as beloved now. There's no misunderstanding for God's children. Now are we the sons of God. John adds, and there's something better coming. It does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. God's children know God is their father. What that relationship provides is that God's children then take on the mind of their father, and they live like God. That's what God wants. That's what every parent wants. John says, and every man that hath this hope in him. What hope? He's a child of God. Every man that has that hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. When you and I talk about relationship with God, it is always going to be about these two ideas. It's going to be about salvation and sanctification. And in both covenants, what you find, Exodus 14, 30 and 31, thus the Lord saved Israel that day. After salvation, you're going to find an exhortation to live holy. Leviticus 11, 44, 45. Be ye holy, for I am holy. The nature of the relationship has changed. You were once in Egyptian bondage. I have set you free. Now that you're free, live like you belong to me. You were once lost, now you're found. You were once in darkness, now you're in the light. You were once my enemy, now you're my child. Live like the relationship that we have. Same thing in the New Testament. Peter says the children of God, verse 1, verse 2, they have this hope. What does the hope they have being a child of God provide? Number one, it provides motivation. Everyone that has this hope purifies himself. Why should a child of God live a holy life? The answer is in the question. Because they're a child of God. That's why you live a holy life. Because you belong to him. God's children have hope. John continues, whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Ye know that he was manifest, take away our sins, Jesus Christ was, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not, whosoever sinneth not hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Note the connection between the him and the he and the child of God with Jesus. The child of God is motivated to live like God because they understand the mission of Christ. Everyone that has this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. And you know he was manifest to take away sins. Guess what the child of God has? They've had their sins taken away. They have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. They understand that. These ETHs on the King James, in the King James Version, every one of those words where you see the ETH is designed to help the reader understand the action is continuous that's being spoken of. Present and active, it continues. It's not a one-time act. There are words for that. That is a one-time act with no more results. There are words for that. These words, every one of them, have the idea of not a one-time action, but a continual action. Hence the word walk. You know, if you are doing this motion, somebody say, well, Eric is taking a walk. What happens when I do this? You can't say Eric's walking anymore. You see, walking is a continuous action, and that's what John is trying to describe. Every one of these words. So go back and read it again and listen to what John says. Whosoever committeth, he keeps on committing sin. What does he do? He transgresseth. He keeps on breaking the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. You know he was manifest to take away our sins. And whosoever abideth in him, where is this person? 1 John 1:7, they're walking in the light. They're in a relationship with God. You know what they do? They stay there. They keep walking in the light. You know what? Everyone abides in him, sinneth not. He doesn't say they didn't sin. He says they don't walk a life of sin. You can't do both. You can't walk in the light and walk in darkness. You can't continue in both. A child of God can sin in the light and keep walking in the light, but he has to walk out of the light to no longer walk in the light. One action of sin in the light doesn't transfer a person in the darkness. John is talking about two groups of people, both on a continual, perpetual walk. Can't walk in both places. And so the child of God, he says, sinneth not. He doesn't keep on. He does not live a life of sin. Then John adds this thought. Little children, let no man deceive you. It is rather interesting to me that oftentimes God's children listen to the devil's children tell them whether or not they're okay with God. I wouldn't let the child of the devil tell me whether or not God and I are all right. I'm his child. Why on earth would I listen to the devil's child? You call yourself a Christian. Not in name only. I am a Christian. I can't believe you. Now, why would I listen to a child of the devil tell a child of God whether or not they're right with God? John says, let no man deceive you. Friends, here it is. He that doeth righteousness, doeth, keeps on doing righteousness. Bible says he's righteous. It might behoove every one of us who belongs to God to occasionally refer to ourselves in the way the Bible refers to us. For if you don't, you'll be referring to yourself in the ways the Bible does not refer to us. For instance, if the Bible says those individuals who walk in the light, those individuals who keep on refusing to walk out, refusing to live a life of sin, those individuals who keep living for God, the Bible says they're righteous. Now, what do you call yourself? I get it. I do. I get it. I get the idea that people are trying to convey because they never want us to feel too secure in Jesus. Nobody ever wants us to feel too secure. So we're always hedging ourselves and we come up with inventive things like this. We're all sinners. We're all sinners saved by grace. Let me ask you this. If you're a sinner saved by grace, what are you after you're saved by grace? Now, I can tell you what the Bible will call you at that point. It'll call you a saint. What do you want to keep saying? Hello. What do you want to keep saying? How in the world can a sinner saved by grace keep being a sinner? Does anybody know where the saints are then? Does anybody know how one becomes a saint? You know 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 2. You know the book in Corinth. You know that church? That church where a man had his father's wife. That church where they were taking one another to law. That church, chapter 6, where they were having division and other people calling each other their leaders, Paul, Peter, and other. You know that church, chapter 1? That church is referred to in this way, chapter 1, verse 1 and verse number 2. Paul to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are called saints. Of all the New Testament epistles, to call a church full of saints, Corinth? I wonder what you would have called them. Let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous. I don't know what you're referring to yourself as. I know what the Bible says. Children of God are righteous. Children of God, they are that because they've been born again. He that committed sin, ETH, is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, doesn't keep on doing it. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot, because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth his brother. We began by asking, whose child am I? We might end with this thought. Whose child are you? 1 John chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, there are only two options. He that committed sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The other option is, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. You can be born of a child of God, or you can be a child of the devil. And John says, in this, here's how we know. We can identify him. In this, children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. We are either walking in darkness or we are walking in the light. We have been born again or we have not been born again. We have been born into the family of God, having our sins forgiven, or we have not had our sins forgiven. We are either a child of God or we are a child of the devil. And the devil has children. John 8:44, Jesus said to those Jews, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh of a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Jesus stood before Jews who had previously said, "We have Abraham to our father." Imagine when Jesus said, "No, you're of your father, the devil. You can't be God's child on your own will, on your own intellect, or by your own righteousness. You can only be a child of God by being born into the family of God. Children of God are individuals who have joy because of Christ, not some fabricated, made up joy. And please understand, I'm not suggesting, I might add it again just so you understand, we should be as passionate as we possibly can and spirited in our worship to God according to truth. But we should have fellowship with Christ. That's what sustains us. We acknowledge we're sinners. We admit we need forgiveness. We accept God's justice and his decree. And that motivates us to live like God. In the New Testament, this is done through obeying the gospel. Jesus said, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit," John 3:3-5. The seed of the kingdom is the word of God, Matthew 13, Luke chapter 8. How is one born again? Of seed. The seed is implanted into the heart and it germinates. And that seed brings forth, it moves one to belief in Jesus Christ, John 8:24. That belief blossoms into repentance, a new mind, a change of heart, which results in a change of direction, Luke 13:3. It admits, "I have sinned." Confesses the name of Jesus, Romans 10:9-10, Matthew 10:32-33. And then it submits to baptism. "Men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you." Peter says, "You were not born again of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the precious blood of Jesus." Romans 1:18-19. We die to the practice of sin. We are buried with him in baptism, and we rise and walk in newness of life. Romans 6:3-4. And through the operation of God, Colossians 2:12, we are translated out of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear son, Colossians 1:13. And when that's done, we are born into the family of God. Friends, if you have not done that, in answering the question of whose child you are, the answer is you simply cannot be a child of God any other way. It provides no comfort. It gives no joy. It gives no pleasure to say the opposite. There are a great many people believing they are in a relationship with God and wanting the same, trying to do what they have been taught and what they believe to be right. And instead of being angry with me for preaching the gospel, why not be angry at the people who are misleading them to that conclusion? Somebody told those people wrong when Jesus said, "I never knew you." And they said, "Have we not? Have we not? Have we not in your name?" Friends, if you're going to be a child of God, you're going to have to come to the watery grave of baptism, submit to the gospel of Jesus Christ, let him save you from your sins, and let him add you to his family. Friends, if you don't do that, there simply is no other option. I know there are some nicer people who wouldn't say that. Well, those nice people are going to help you lose your eternal soul. Better to come to Jesus than to have friends helping you to eternal loss. Not a Christian this morning, become one. Believe in Jesus. Repent of your sins. confess his name, be buried with him, be born again into his family. If you are his child, friends, if you don't have joy, who does? If your fellowship with Jesus is not producing in your life what it should, why not? Why not? Love, joy, fellowship, to name just a few of being a child of God. Subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come. If we can help in any way, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?